everyone. I'm Blair O'Neill with the Golf Channel, and you're listening to Southern Fairways Radio, hosted by Randy Bergen. Now, let's have some fun with Southern Fairways Radio.
Here's Tua stepping back, loads up, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown.
Touchdown, Alabama, Devontae Smith, touchdown, Alabama, and the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain, their fifth national championship in 9 years, their 17th overall.
45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran it back 109 yards. Holy cow. Oh, my God. Auburn wins. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl.
Oh, wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
It's time! Hey, welcome in to another edition of Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. We're broadcasting live from our Shrixon Studios located right here in South Alabama. And as always, today's show is presented by McConnell Automotive, where there are no shenanigans and hassle-free buying at McConnell Automotive. They're located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile, or you can check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Hello again. I am Randy Bergen. Boy, the fat pack just fell right over from PSR. And I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out with me, Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach, I know you had made reference to that Auburn call in PSR earlier today. Okay, and I heard that. Where just 1 second was all that was needed. I did hear that. So, but didn't work for y'all this past week, Coach.
I'm sorry. Didn't work for us this past week. Is it that did, what you
yeah,
said?
Yeah, I mean Auburn didn't get the win last Saturday. So,
no, we didn't. We played. I thought we played extremely well.
Thought
though,
you did
to be
too.
Honest with you, and this is what will stand out forever in my lifetime about that game. 4th and 2, you can kick a field goal to win the game.
Oh.
And you put Ty Simpson in a situation where I got to throw a dime. I got to throw it. I mean, I just got to.
And, man, he threaded a needle on
it. I'm telling you he did. That was the gutsiest call. That's when I thought DeBoer was going to Penn State. I said, he's sitting over there and he's telling Grubb, he said, it don't matter. It don't matter if we don't connect.
Oh, God.
If we don't connect, we're going.
It's just
going
to be a little colder where we're going.
That's right, a little colder. But I couldn't believe he lined up and ran the play.
I thought he was going to try to draw him off sides, and I was sitting there going, good gosh, but. He made that call. The biggest called play of the night to me was Ty Simpson's 4th down scramble.
Yeah.
The one he made and kept the drive going because he was stopped.
Yeah.
And he just kept breaking. He'd miss, like a guy miss, and he just landed and on that last drive just enough across the yard stripe to make it a 1st down. And they kept the drive going. But, yeah. Man, that call was one of the biggest ever. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know if I could have made that call. I'm just telling you.
There had to be a lot of confidence in there.
I mean, and there was just a very small window to put that ball in.
You talking about he grew up throwing into garbage cans?
Yeah.
He threw that one in a spittoon.
Yes, he did.
I have not heard that word in a long time.
He did, buddy. Yep. That's
But it was like that Iron Bowl is all. I mean, I love it when the Iron Bowl's like that. It's competitive. Yeah. It comes down to the wire. You know, Alabama jumps out 17-0, and I'm thinking, man, what's going on here? Because Auburn, you know, whatever anybody can say what they want to about Auburn, go back and look at the season they've had and how close every game they played in was.
Yeah, they've been in pretty much every ball game.
Even they I don't think they lost by double digits to anybody.
Well, you got to look. The Georgia fiasco.
Yes,
that one, and then Oklahoma running the layout play that we used to practice 40 years ago. and we could get away with it.
The play was illegal.
Yeah, it's illegal as it can be. Yeah, Auburn should have won both those games.
Yes.
And, you know, the sad part of this is it cost a lot of guys their jobs.
It did.
It cost lot of guys their job. And one of them is our buddy. It's Brent Bedsoe. I'm hoping and praying that the new coach will keep him.
I hope so,
but I don't know.
We're going to talk about the coaching carousel, where everyone's going, who got fired, who got hired. We're going to talk about that in the show at the bottom of the hour, because I want to get your thoughts on some of those we found out, too, that Southern Miss is. Well, we talked about it last week, Huff at Southern Miss,
Charles
who's
Huff.
Come in and done a great job there. Well, when you do a great job, guess what? Everybody wants you. And he's headed to Memphis. So we'll talk a little about that. But a lot of conference championships going on. We saw some last night. North Texas defeats Tulane. I'm sorry.
No.
Tulane defeated North Texas. What, 34-21, I think, the final in that.
I don't know. We were trying to get home, but there was another one, too. Troy played in a
James Madison.
Yeah,
and James Madison won that one pretty good. That was 31-14, the final.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was really pulling for Troy. It would have been nice to see them. Also, Jacksonville State, another Alabama team, loses to Kennesaw State, 19-15. A very close game there. I think Kennesaw State came from behind to win that one.
I didn't know that they lost to Kennesaw State.
Yep.
So that's news this morning. So Charles Kelly's had a great season there, though. You know, Charles Kelly, his dad, Mark, when you and I were young coaches, his dad, LaVon Kelly, was the head football coach at Skipperville. Is that G.W. Long?
That's G.W. Long.
Yeah. And he's on the central board. Very, very well-respected man. And his son, Charles, has been an outstanding college coach and recruiter. He's been a lot of places. Worked for Coach Saban, worked for at Florida State. Boy, he's an outstanding coach and a great recruiter. Now the head coach at Jacksonville State.
Boise State defeats UNLV last night, 38-21, the final there.
And that's kind of – that game, there was something I was watching last night where Boise wins and UNLV was the higher-ranked team.
Right.
And now Boise wins. If there's another win, it's going to knock somebody out of the playoffs. I can't remember who it is.
It must be Virginia.
It may be. I don't know. Like Virginia and Duke, they play tonight, I think.
Yeah,
and,
they do.
You know, Virginia's not a bad team.
The ranked 17th.
Yeah, but Duke's playing better. They're 7.
Yeah.
What if Duke beats Virginia? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Going to put an 8-5 team in the playoffs?
You can't do that.
Well, and that's
they are. They're the conference champion.
But see, that's kind of what bothers me a little bit about some of these conference championships.
Yeah. May not.
Because you're not talking about the same quality. I mean, I'm not knocking these guys, but to me it just doesn't seem like the same quality to be able to get into a national championship.
They had to do this for 2 years. Now, we've talked about this. They had to do it for 2 years to get the whole group of five together so they could, you know, formulate a plan. Now, after this year, the 12 best teams in the country, if it's still 12, I think it's going to go to 16.
Yeah.
They don't have to be – and this is no shade on Tulane, but how is Tulane – I don't know. How is Tulane going to do against Ohio State? What do you think? How is Tulane going to do against –
56-7?
Yeah.
I mean that would be – that again, that's not knocking Tulane.
No.
It's just a different – it's like Southern Miss going to play Ohio
there
State.
You go.
I mean, you
That's
know,
right.
it's just.
Well, you know, I heard a college coach tell me a long time ago, when you get teams that come and play Alabama or Auburn or Tennessee, and they're from the subdivision, like Mercer or something like that, they'll always have their first unit of guys can play with the first unit of the other for a while.
But after that.
After that. Then they start getting tired, and the big boys just keep throwing more on the field that are just as good as the ones who just came off. And your crew you send out there can't hold up to that fire.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just – that's what – if you watch all of those games, normally you'll see, oh, this team's – well, they got Oklahoma on the run, and they're ahead of them. They're beating them. They're going to the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, bam, 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 and Oklahoma wins. You know, that's just the – or who – what I'm just using Oklahoma as, as reference. But – it happens all the time because they just don't have enough. That's what I say. I remember even when TCU – didn't TCU play Georgia for the national championship a few years, or was it the semifinals?
No, they played somebody. Yeah. TCU was in the championship game at some point. It was beat the daylights out of them, didn't they?
Georgia played them. But when they walked on the field and I watched TCU's defensive line stand in front of Georgia's offensive line, I knew right then this game's already over.
Yeah.
There's just too much. There's too much talent at that school. And I'm not knocking those guys. I'm not knocking them. But there is a different level of player that goes to the SEC upper echelon and the Big Ten upper echelon then goes to the subdivision.
Yeah.
Just a different level of player.
But now TCU's not a subdivision.
No, they are. They're not.
They're big time.
But they didn't have any business in that game.
No.
All right, we're going to take our first time out. When we come back, we're going to head down to Foley. We're going to talk with the general manager of Glen Lake, David Musial. He'll be on with us, and we're going to talk just a little bit of golf, a lot of football, because he's looking for his Georgia Dogs to get a win today. We'll talk with him when we come back. Rick, I want to kick out a little Neil Diamond for you this morning.
I love some Neil Diamond.
Shoot, Sweet Carolina, are you kidding me? That's a big one. They play that a lot at all the ball games now.
Yeah.
So get the crowd pumped up and all that.
Isn't he the one that, was it Alabama talked about in their song? Neil Diamond, Neil. Tell old Neil something about putting the South down. I don't remember what it was. I'll find it in a minute.
I know he used to sing a song that they'd play in baseball stadiums about an umpire being blind, and Neil Diamond was singing it. I got to where I didn't like it.
You didn't like that song,
no.
Especially when you was umping.
That's right.
Hey, welcome back to Southern Fairways. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Lasher, Coach Rick Cleveland. Time to go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in a good friend of ours. He is the general manager of Glen Lakes Golf Club in Foley, Alabama. David Musial on the line with us. Big D, we're talking via phone. I was hoping that we would have been able to see you today, but it didn't work out. So maybe we can try it tomorrow.
Well, we've got the Winter Open, two-player tournament. Saturday and Sunday, and today is a rain out, and we will play an 18 holes for the championship tomorrow. So look, weather looks good for tomorrow, so we'll hope for the best.
David, I'm sitting here listening to these two Alabama fans, and they're crying about having eight people injured. And I can't imagine a team that's hungrier than the Georgia Bulldogs, and I know we'll talk about golf here in a minute, but I had to throw this at David right off the bat. They're really poor mouthing about having eight players out, David, and you Georgia Bulldogs are loaded for bear.
Well, it's got to be next man up. Last year's SEC championship game, and Carson Beck went out, and who came in? Gunner came in there and led them to a victory against Texas. And, you know, you got to be deep, and, you know, that's just part of the game. But should be a great game. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to pick Georgia 31-24. I think that the running game for Georgia has now come on, and the defense has gotten stronger, and I think that they're going to get them today.
You know, Dave, one of the things, a lot of folks were not big fans of Mike Bobo, your offensive coordinator, but all of a sudden everybody's kind of like, you know, maybe he's not that bad. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think that it's, you know, you look at the great teams, that running game and good defense. And, you know, conservative passing that win with defense and a running game and possession of the ball. Because, you know, they played against Georgia Tech, and it was, kind of a stale game. There was a ball control, lots of running, good defense, and that's how you win games. And, you know, sometimes that, you know, he doesn't open it up, but they're winning games, won a lot of close games this year. But, you know, a funny story about Bobo being the offensive coordinator and his son being a center. He said he wanted to go to be a quarterback all the way through, and he got through high school. Yeah. He said, son, he said, 275. He said, I think you probably want to get on that offensive line. So, but he's done a great job for him.
Well, they weren't ever going to get rid of Mike Bobo as long as his son was playing center for him. I can promise you that.
Absolutely.
Now, if they don't win this game, it may be a different story. So, his son's a good player, I'm telling you that.
He is, and a lot of things are taken for granted about the offensive line when you win these games and these tight games in the trenches and good running game. And Georgia's running game has come on, that I look for Frazier to have a big game today. Gunner for game after game, I started telling Randy I thought he should be in the Heisman hunt, and then he really didn't have a very good game at all against Tech. But they won the ball game and against a good Tech team, and they've had some ugly wins this year, but sometimes that's what it takes.
We're visiting with David Musial, Glen Lakes Golf Club down in Foley. Mark?
Yeah, David, good to hear your voice, buddy. I was when I watched Georgia this year throughout the year off different times, their teams, the way that team is constructed, looks like a early, Nick Saban team at Alabama back when Kirby was – doing the defense there. It's structured very similarly. Tremendous offensive lineman, good tight end, steady quarterback, good running game, and plays just outstanding defense. Is that kind of the framework that you see from this program?
Absolutely. That you look at, and Kirby was, defensive coordinator of those Alabama teams where they, you couldn't score a point on Alabama. That, good running game, good offensive line, safe plays, quick out, not mixing it up too much. But every now and then you're going to have to throw in, have to keep the defense honest, because Alabama's going to be packing in for that running game. But that's kind of what Georgia has done in this last half of the year, where they've been a little stronger and more dominant on the defensive end.
Yeah, and defensively, you talk about a couple guys that stand out. Number 80, C.J. Allen, your linebacker. He's pretty special in that defense. Also, your defensive back, Ellis Robinson, who's got 4 interceptions right now. Ty Simpson probably needs to stay away from him. Wouldn't you say, Mark?
Yes. Run fastly away.
Well, it's going to be interesting, too. For Alabama, Jam Miller's not going to be playing. And Rick mentioned it. We got 8 players out on the Alabama team. I don't know who's going to step in there and really perform. Like, I thought Jam Miller, Hill is going to be out also. Is that correct?
No, Hill's playing.
Hill is playing.
But Riley's not playing.
Okay.
Those are the two backs from the last time that they played. But, it's this time of year. So like David said, at this time of year, you're going to have people nicked up, beat up. Georgia's got a couple of guys nicked up and out too. So whoever's got to step up and do the job, you just got to step up and do it and work your offense and defense around it. There's no other way around it.
I'll tell you something I'm a little worried about is, if you go back and look at, Tennessee just tore up Georgia, and Georgia was lucky to beat them early in the year, that's what I go to. I go with Simpson, with going with some deep balls and go some 50-50s, and I think it gives, if not, completing those of where you get a lot of, penalties on interference on those 50-50 balls where the defensive player is, back to the play. But Alabama's got a lot more to play for. Georgia is in there. They're going to be in the playoff, and Alabama, needs to, even if they lose, they still have to play a pretty good game. I think if they get blown out, they're out of the playoff. But, I think that when it kicks off, I think that they'll be, they got something to play for, and I think you'll see some intensity out of them.
Well, there's no doubt these two teams will match up very well. Of course, Alabama's won quite a few over Georgia the past few years, but I think you also have to look at the special teams. And your kicker, Peyton Woodring, has been pretty good, especially in that 40 to 50 yard range. He's been pretty special there.
Well, I was going to say that they don't win that Georgia Tech game without a good kicking game. Going through a season like this and how many times of making clutch field goals sometimes it's just that close.
Well, I think, and Mark, I think you would agree that Alabama's kicking, Talty lost a couple of fans with that reaction that he had.
He did.
And I'm not sure how confident we are in his kicking right now.
He's been very erratic.
He had a good one against Auburn, but
I mean, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
We had Reichert for, 4 years?
Yeah.
Some gun never missed, and so, you think about that, and he's done a great job. But, if Talty's, if you want to say something to your snapper, you say it over on the sideline just between the two of you. You don't have to do it out in front of everybody because you missed the kick. For whatever reason it is, There's no need for that in sport. You talk about it privately. Yeah. Don't embarrass your teammates. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that kind of reminds you of that A.J. McCarron deal years ago.
Yeah.
All right, David, let me ask you this. So you've picked Georgia to win this. Let's move around and take a look at some of the other matchups that will be going on today. Coming up at 11 o'clock, you'll see BYU ranked 11th. They'll take on number 4 Texas Tech there in Arlington, Texas. This will be a good matchup, and Mark and I were talking about this a little while ago. I'm thinking Texas Tech needs to lose. Mark thinks BYU needs to lose.
Well, that ain't gonna happen. Both of them ain't gonna lose.
Well, that's right.
True. One of them is.
Well,
we got a 50-50 shot there.
I think Texas Tech is the best team of those two teams, and they've been up there all year, and I think they're going to be one of the ones that gets a bye too. I do. I think they're going to be
There's some formula that where the national champions that typically have, I don't know, I think it's 400 yards of total offense and don't allow 200 yards of defense, and the only two teams I think through last week were Ohio State and Texas Tech. Texas Tech's got a good team, but I think if they beat BYU, that's going to bump them. A lot of things could happen with this playoff. I mean, it's, and I'm like you, Coach. I think that line up the top 12 teams, regardless of what conference and where they are in going in versus, some of these, mid-majors getting in. But, we're down to the wire now, and those first-round games, some of them could be kind of ugly.
Well, so I'm presuming then you're picking Texas Tech over BYU.
I got Texas Tech.
All right, and then Western Michigan and Miami also at 11 o'clock. That'll be on ESPN. Doesn't really matter that much. I mean, I don't know how many fans we have down here for either of those teams.
Well, we have a bunch of fans here for Western Michigan because Lance Taylor is a head football coach there. Grew up in Citronell, played high school football there.
Yeah,
and just a tremendous, tremendous young coach. But that's Miami of Ohio.
Miami of Ohio, that's correct.
Yeah.
All right, then we'll go with Western Michigan. How about that?
There you go.
Let's do that.
I'll go Western.
All right, then
all
right, here's a big one. Obviously, we'll be number 1 Ohio taking on number 2 Indiana. I think all the pundits are saying Ohio State wins that. I think it's going to be a little closer. What do you think?
I'll take Indiana in overtime. I think it's going to be real tight, and I think it's going to be an exciting game. Those are two great teams. This should be a lot of fun to watch that one.
I think both of you have lost your mind. That's what I think. I think Ohio State's going to beat the pajajas out of them.
I do, too. I think Ohio State's a much better football team. They got the best team money could buy last year, and they did a good job spending their NIL money.
I agree, 100%.
Well, okay.
I'm going to stick with my idiot.
That's me.
There you go, baby.
That's me. That's where I am with that one, too.
Two of the fat guys go one way and one goes the other.
That's just the way we roll.
The good-looking guy goes under, too.
That's the way we go. That's where we go. Then you got Virginia and Duke.
Real quick, Randy. Yeah. Dale Murphy for the Hall of Fame tomorrow. We will find out tomorrow, and I hope that he gets in.
Well, he certainly deserves to.
Amen.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Hey, Dave, always good to talk with you. We'll see you tomorrow. Maybe we can work it in and get that championship golf in, too.
All right. We'll see you in the morning. Thank you, Randy.
There you go, Dave.
Your support. Okay.
All right, buddy. All right, buddy. Thank you for yours, too. We'll love that guy. All right. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some more football. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster and Coach Rick Cleveland. We've been called the Fat Pack. And
actually, Randy, you've called us the Fat Pack.
Right.
If you really want to get right down to it,
well,
it's not really said outside this room.
No, it's not.
Thank goodness.
Okay.
But if you keep it up, it's probably going to get out there.
It could be out there.
Don't let Batwell get a hold of that. Do not let Batwell or Dean get
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying it's not known except for here.
outside of here. Oh, my goodness. Hey, let's take a spin around this coaching carousel. Of course, I guess one of the Tulane, John Summerall, he was Tulane has played pretty well, played pretty good last night, got a win. But he's headed to Florida. What's your thoughts on that? Because I know he was talking. I mean, he was an Auburn. Looked like he was going to be an Auburn guy for a minute, but
I really like John Summerall. I think I know John a little, not a whole lot. Landon worked for him at Troy when he was there, and just thought the world of John Summerall. He thought he's one of the best coaches he'd ever been around. Just good guy, good person, good man, and I think he's going to do a great job at Florida. I loved watching him on the sideline last night. He was coaching his fanny off of those Tulane kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. I think that's the way it should be done.
Amen.
You ought to be able to finish your year.
Yeah.
Whatever else is going on outside the spectrum of your school, other schools calling you or whatever, fine.
Yeah.
That's all part of it. I get that. But you finished what you start. We tell everybody that. I'm not – you know, and if administrators are saying, hey, I don't think it's right for our administration to say, you need to cut off all talks with these people and be done with it or just go. I don't think that's right. I think they started that year and Lane's done a good job, you know, that kind of thing. But I like what Tulane did with John Summerall.
Well, you know, we talked about that. We'll talk more about these coaching hires. But you had made mention before we started this morning that you need to have one day of one day of signing.
Yeah,
like we used to have.
National
signing day like we used to have. And then that would fix some of this because you can't do anything till the end of the year. But the reason they're doing that is because they want to get that recruiting started early.
They're thinking, well, if this thing doesn't get turned around, all of a sudden we're going to be out recruits and yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, put it back in February, first Wednesday in February, and go from there. And when the season ends, do what you need to do.
Yep.
I just think that's the way it ought to be done. It would save a lot of – I mean, all of these people, these coaches and the assistant coaches and their families are just being uprooted right in the middle of the season. That's just not
right. You know, and I think John Summerall was coming to Auburn. I think he had told John Cohen, I'm coming. I'm your man. His wife is an Auburn graduate. There's close connections there. But when they told John Summerall – that there's a staff member that we want you to keep here. As a matter of fact, we're fixing to extend his contract. It's DJ Durkin. We're going to extend his contract, give him a pay raise. We need him to be on your staff as a defensive coordinator. That did it for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he.
That's one of the things about being a coach is you get to bring in your coaching staff.
Yeah.
And John Summerall is one of those people where he may have come in there, interviewed DJ. He probably doesn't know him that well.
Right.
Interviewed him, said, hey, man, I like this guy.
Yeah.
This is the guy.
And I'm sure he would have.
But they said they didn't really give him that option. No. It was like, you need to keep him. And he's like,
that's a red flag right there.
Absolutely
you're already
is.
Telling me who's going to be on my staff. Yeah. And that may have been exactly why he said,
well,
yeah, I'm headed to Gainesville.
And then some of his buddies in coaching started sending him text messages and said, there's more problems than just that now.
Yeah.
So you need to recognize that. And that comes from a pretty good source. Mm. So, you know, when your buddies start telling you, you might want to steer clear of a situation that's got some alumni that have a whole lot to say about the job that you do. You might want to steer clear of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Memphis, we know that Memphis let Ryan Silverfield go, who is now headed – well, actually, he's going to Arkansas. So Charles Huff will go from Southern Miss to Memphis. I think that's a good hire for him.
I don't think there's any doubt. I think the hire that Arkansas made, that Hunter Yergin made, is a great hire. Young coach, great offensive mind. And Charles Huff, let me tell you something. Charles Huff he's one of Saban's guys. He goes,
that's right.
You know, he's one of his guys. And
he went to Marshall and won a championship there.
And brought all those players with him.
That's right.
And don't be surprised if he doesn't take a lot of Southern Mississippi's players with him to on this trip. So good hires.
It really is. Cal Listen, well, actually, UConn, Jim Mora left UConn to go to Colorado State.
Yep. Yeah, and I got a former coaching buddy who used to coach at Slapout, who's big buddies with Sonny Smart, Kirby's daddy.
Kirby's daddy.
Big
yeah.
buddies. They coached together. And Jerry Andrews, his grandson, just signed with Colorado State. Big 6'5" quarterback, good looking kid.
Good gosh.
And I sent Jerry a text. He said, "Man, we're excited. Jim Mora Jr. coming there." And,
yeah.
And Jim Mora went to a place where they never wanted
never
football
win.
At Connecticut.
No.
And look what he's done there. So, yeah, that's a big hire.
You know, we watched James Madison last night. Looks like Napier will be going to James Madison.
I love that. I do. I think Billy Napier's got to be in college coaching. He's just that guy.
Was Florida too big for him?
I don't know. I don't know what happened in Florida.
Something happened there, because you don't tell your bosses, "No, I'm not going to hire an offensive coordinator," unless there's something. And he and Scott Strickland must have got turned sideways. I don't know. Great question.
You know that Penn State let James Franklin go, who went to Virginia Tech.
Which I don't understand. I'll never understand why they let James Franklin go.
Me either. That guy, James Franklin, is a tremendous football coach. I don't get it.
And a great recruiter. I mean, a great recruiter.
Yep.
So
he's good for kids. I know that much.
He is that.
Yeah. UAB, it looks like they've promoted Alex Mortensen. Mortensen. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
You know,
Mortensen.
Chris Mortensen's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot to that story. Now, that you know, Samford years ago hired – and Samford's just hired John Gross. I don't know if you know that, Mark.
Yeah,
they hired
I did.
John Gross. And years ago, Samford hired Bucky McMillan.
Right.
High school basketball coach at Mountain Brook. Turned their program around. Now he's a head coach at Texas A&M. I'll tell you right off the bat who I was hoping Samford would hire. I thought the best hire they could make was right down the street from them to hire Robert Evans as head football coach at Samford from Vestavia Hills High School. Played there.
Right.
Is in their Hall of Fame. He's loved by everybody connected with Samford. They did it in basketball and it worked. I really thought that they'd do it in football. I really did. Because Robert Evans is one of those guys that you keep your eyes on. And he's got an offensive coordinator at Vestavia. Really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Those two guys could have really – I think they could have – they'd have been a slam dunk. And that's no shade on John Gross at all.
Oh, no.
He's one of us, too. He's a high school coach is what he is. He got the job at Jacksonville State when Bill left.
Did a great job.
Did a great job. And then when they let him go at Jacksonville State, Dabo picked him up at Clemson and did a great job there.
Yep.
So, but I was sure pulling for Robert Evans at Vestavia to get that job.
Yeah. Now, let's see how it works out. I know UAB is a little bit tough. Trent Dilfer, he didn't have – it was a struggle for him. I think he was 9-21.
I think UAB is just
– That's a tough
it's
job.
It's a tough job. It's just a – their administration.
They had the right guy.
Yeah, they did.
Saw Bill. Saw did him you? The other night at the ball game. I saw him after our game.
Good.
Bill Clark, former head coach there at UAB, and he was on TV last night.
Yeah,
he had him on the TV.
At 7 o'clock game.
Yeah, and they were talking to him, and I don't think he's going to get back in coaching.
He said either.
He just doesn't miss it.
And, of course, my son played for him.
Yep.
Got a couple of championship rings out of it.
Yep. He and Jack Crow were working on a foundational – he was probably talking about last night what they're doing.
Yeah.
With youth football.
Yeah, I think so.
And he and Jack Crow were – and Jack was our guest.
I didn't hear. I heard him later.
Yeah, on the 3 o'clock game, he was our guest during the second quarter. It's probably what Bill did last night. He stayed in during the whole second quarter for the Sarah Land game. Yeah.
Kentucky let Mark Stoops go.
I'm
not sure that I agree with that. I mean, Mark Stoops, what was he? 500 at Kentucky, 13 seasons there.
Yes. I mean, to me, Mark Stoops made Kentucky relevant in football.
Amen.
They were not relevant. Now, all of a sudden, they're relevant again.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to know when you go play Kentucky, you're going to have to play.
Yeah, but, Mark, he got blown out by Louisville.
Well, he did.
Yeah,
I mean, there were some And then that's one of those teams also. They get a few guys nicked up and banged up. They don't have anybody to replace
them. They don't.
And because Kentucky's a hard place to recruit football players to.
Yeah.
Do they have the money? I mean, when you look at Texas A&M, LSU.
Oh, they've got the money. It's just the money goes to basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they got the money. It's just – but Mark Stoops is a heck of a football coach.
No doubt.
He's not going to have a problem getting a job. He turned down the Texas A&M job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that tell you? He must be pretty well respected. Those of us on the outside as high school coaches have the utmost respect for him because he took a school that's a basketball school through and through and turned it into a very competitive SEC football
team. You know, I talked to him at convention. I think it was 2 years ago. And we were standing outside the meeting room, and I just said, "Coach, we appreciate you coming down here and speaking to all of us." And he goes, "Man, I love coming down here. This is where football's football."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He goes, "I love coming down here talking to you guys." He goes, "Because y'all know what it's all about." You know, when you live down here and you work down here, everybody just does the same thing. We all work football constantly.
That's right.
And other parts of the country don't do that.
Right.
You know, and you don't realize, he goes, "I just like coming down here where football's football."
Well,
I'll never forget he said that.
You look at his family. His brother Bob, an outstanding football coach, one of the best football coaches. Heck, he's ultra successful. Where was he at Florida? Didn't he win at Florida? Big time. His brother Mike is on his staff as well. But Bob now coaching in the USFL or somewhere just to be coaching.
Yep.
Doesn't even need to coach. Doesn't want to coach anymore. But that Stoops family is a football-oriented family, and they're good people and good football
coaches. They are that.
Well, we know that Ole Miss has put Pete Golding in now as the coach because Lane Kiffin decided, you know what, we've got a fantastic team here at Ole Miss, but I'm moving on. And I want to talk about that when we come back. I want to get your thoughts on it because it kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Don't talk to these coaches until the season's over. And then when you fire these coaches halfway through, like Auburn did, what is it saying to the team? Okay? We'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Nothing like a little Steely Dan on a Saturday morning. Well, I'll tell you what, good stuff right there. Hey, welcome back to Southern Fairways. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Lasher, Coach Rick Cleveland, putting wraps on this edition of it. We left it with Ole Miss and LSU, Lane Kiffin, the topic there. Mark, your thoughts on that, obviously, and I think we all agree, that letting a coach either make a decision to go to another school or being fired during the season, whether it be in the middle of the season or at the end of the season, before your season is up, let me put it like that, it shouldn't happen.
I agree. Look, you guys hired him, okay? You hired him. You need to say, okay, we hired him. We're going to finish out the season, and we'll make a change at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Not in the middle of the season. To me, that's just not right. It tells your team – it makes a huge message to everybody. I've never agreed with that. I just don't think it's right. Let them finish the season. See, and if it doesn't get any better, then you know what you got to do. But the reason they do that now is because they got recruiting. Early recruiting comes up December the 2nd, 3rd, whatever it is. We got to have somebody in here ready to go, you know, and let these recruits know we're doing this now so we can get them. And I'm like, I'm just like, move the recruiting thing back to February like we had it. Leave the coaches alone. Lane made a decision for himself that, you know, I don't know. I'm not in the room with him, so I don't know what all was said. But that's just I don't know how you leave a team that you've coached to the championship caliber that he's coached them to. Now, playoff team, and he's not going
to
be with
Rick, we got a text from John, and he asked the question, are they going to block Ole Miss from the CFP because of their quitter head coach?
No, that ain't going to happen. Those kids have earned the right to be where they are, and that's not going to go backwards at all. they're in the college football playoffs. And I hope they get a home game. And they very well should get a home game. If they're 5 through 8, they get a home game. And I'm pulling for them. And I hope they win the whole thing. I do. If Alabama can't win it, as an Auburn fan, if Alabama can't win it, I hope Ole Miss wins it. Or Georgia. Somebody in the Southeastern Conference. But, no, the answer to that question is, no, they're going to be there. And I think that Charlie Weiss, the offensive coordinator, LSU has allowed for him to go back and coach in this game.
He has.
As long as they're winning. So I think that's a great thing for those two schools to work that out together.
Well, it is it is kind of a little bit of a mess there. I'm not happy about it. I don't like the way – think about the players, all right? What are you saying to the player when that coach is either taken away from you, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, is either taken away from you because he's taken another position, or you fired him, and I think more importantly, when you fire that coach, what are you saying? I mean, at Auburn, let's use that for example. Now, Hugh Freeze probably made a couple of mistakes, but he's what, in his third year.
Yeah.
I know every fan, every team, that we want to win this year. Every year you have to be undefeated. I don't know if that's going to happen much. But, Rick, talk about that a second. I mean, you let him go halfway through. What are you telling the team? What are you telling the team at that point?
First, let me tell you this. You're not going to see teams go through the Southeastern Conference being undefeated anymore.
That's going to be tough.
It's not going to happen. Mm-mm. It's just not. Texas A&M got a real break schedule-wise this year. They got a huge break. But what you're saying to your players is we've given up on your coach.
Right.
And your his staff, and we're going to move on, and we're going to sacrifice the rest of this season and just – do whatever we can do to get to where we need to get to. And it doesn't matter. You're telling the kids we give up. We quit.
That's right.
Coach is an Auburn – you're an Auburn fan.
Yeah,
you've been an Auburn fan for a long time. All right? But you're seeing this. It's almost – happens about every 3 years.
Yeah. Made some bad hires.
Yeah.
You know, never should have hired Brian Harsin. Never should have. That was a ghost hire. You just don't – Brian had no – he had nothing to do with the Southeastern Conference. He's a far western guy. I mean, you ever been to Boise, Idaho?
No.
Man, you need to make that trip one time.
I don't know about that.
Man, alive.
It's beautiful.
I mean, yeah, but you ain't going to get a kid from Naples, Florida, to come down there and play football in Boise, Idaho. You may get one from sunny California to come over there and go back. But, no, it's just – no. But – just made some bad hires.
And see, Hugh Freeze was battling that uphill battle since he got there. Because Harsin didn't get any recruits.
No recruiting done.
None.
And that's my point.
None.
That's my point. You didn't give him time. I mean, he's got to get the right recruits in. I think he was headed in that direction.
I do too.
Got to get the right coaching staff in there. Did he make some mistakes? I think him trying to play offensive coordinator as well was probably a little bit of a mistake.
Well, when he came out and said, we're going to have one coach call first down, another coach is going to call second down, and then we're going to have two coaches that work on third down, and I have the veto power. Bull crap. Man.
I don't get that.
If they hired you because you're a great play caller, that's what he's good at. Call the plays.
Why? I don't understand why he didn't. When he was at Ole Miss, he ran the show.
Right.
The entire thing.
Right. And he had somebody in his ear, and you know how important it is, Mark, to have somebody in their ear that's looking from another perspective and can guide you and – call the plays. That's what he's good at. Billy Napier made the worst mistake of all of them. When he just told the athletic director, I'm not going to hire an offensive coordinator. I'm going to run the offense. Well, it didn't work.
It didn't.
How do you do that at that level? I mean, why would you try to take that? You got so many responsibilities as a head coach. Why would you try to take that on as well when you have the opportunity and the money to buy
them,
one?
Some of the head coaches will feel like my job is in jeopardy.
Right.
And so if it's in jeopardy, I'm going to call the shot.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the plan. I'm going to do it all. So if I get beat, I get beat because of what I did, not somebody else.
But, Mark, doesn't that happen during the week, not on the Saturday of the game? I mean, that's what you do with your coaching staff. You say, guys, here's our game plan, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, coaches got to know and feel when to call what play. Whatever that play they've worked on all week.
Yeah.
They just got to know it.
Well, what it tells me, Mark, is there's a lack of communication on that staff
mm-hmm.
because they offensively weren't on the same page.
They had nothing to hang their hat on, not one thing. When you think about Florida's offense, what do you think? Nothing.
Nothing.
Because you don't have anything. Like when you see Georgia play, Georgia's going to run the football and play action.
That's right.
You know that.
Yeah.
And that's you
exactly
know that.
Right. That's exactly
You know
right.
Oklahoma's going to spread you out and hit RPOs and have quarterback run. You know what they have an identity. Florida never had an identity.
Never had a culture. And that word's come in here now, and because of him, because of Nick Saban.
Right.
Because culture is developed. It's developed, and they developed it, and then you better follow it. If you don't follow it, he's going to fire you.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's he didn't need an athletic director to fire him.
No.
He'd fire himself if it wasn't working. He'd be gone.
Right.
But Nick Saban, he set the tone for all. And I'm not blaming him for all these coaches getting fired. He set the standard for what coaches need to be and do in the Southeastern Conference. He's the greatest that there's ever coached it. And, Mark, you sat on the couch in Coach Bryant's office, and you know that he, in his time, he was the greatest coach that ever coached the game.
Yep.
But this guy can't surpass him. Can't surpass him.
Nope. Be tough to do. Tough to, real quick, got a text in from Michael. Wants to know, basically, with the Duke-Virginia game, if Duke beats Virginia – ACC is out of the.
That's what I think.
Yeah. I think so too.
I think so. Yeah. I think they're out.
I think they're out.
If they've got the losses that Duke's got,
right?
No, they're not in.
Yeah.
So, I hate to say this in the sense that I'm an SEC guy. I hope that Duke wins because.
Do they have a chance?
Yeah, they got a chance against Virginia. They do. And the thing about it is that gives the SEC another chance. I still think, above all, if you got to the best 12 teams, Vanderbilt and Texas should be in there with Oklahoma and with Alabama and with Ole Miss.
Georgia.
And Georgia for sure, yeah. And Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Do you like Pavia as a Heisman candidate?
I think the award is given to the player that does the most for his team. Who's done more for his team than Pavia?
I don't like the way he acts.
Well, I don't either.
But Johnny Manziel.
But he does a fantastic job running his football team.
It's all about what you do between the lines. And there's a lot of them I didn't agree with that won the Heisman Trophy that
agreed.
Didn't do what they should have done. And there's a lot, I mean.
A lot of guys that should have won it that didn't
win. That's right. That's exactly right. So. But the kid that – let's see what happens today with Indiana and Ohio State. The quarterback in Indiana is supposedly the front runner now. And if he falls on his face like I think he's going to against Ohio State, probably he wins the Heisman Trophy.
Really?
When they go into Knoxville and do what they did to Tennessee, he got a lot of voters on that.
But also today – if you watch Julian Sayin, the quarterback at Ohio State.
That's what I'm saying.
He's sitting right there. The three of them are neck and neck. I'm just telling you. And if Sayin has a great day and Pavia's not playing, but Sayin has a great day and the kid from Indiana doesn't, Sayin's going to get it.
Well, and that goes back to, is he the best player in America?
I don't know because he's surrounded by
He's surrounded by great players. I think the best player in America is that running back from Notre Dame.
Whoa.
He's pretty good. He's pretty spanky.
Yeah.
He's pretty spanky.
He is that
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, Coach, who Alabama, Georgia?
I like Alabama. That's my heart talking.
Okay.
But I think Georgia wins the game.
Mark?
Same. I'm pulling for Alabama.
You know that. You know that's what we do it.
Uh-huh.
You know that's what we do it.
Yeah.
So, guys, I can't thank y'all enough for hanging out with me today. It's been appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot.
We love you, Randy.
Well, we appreciate you, and you did awesome on those on those ball games, Super 7 ball games.
Yeah, you did.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us, for our producer, Steve Stanley, the whole staff here at Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. I'm Randy Bergen. Have a great day. Go Bama. Remember, hit a knee, say a prayer. God bless America, and God bless Israel. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.